It's the Escape Artist Podcast at DonkeyJawProjects.com, hosted by yours truly, Marshall Couture, also known as Black.
We make, relate, create, it's change harness. The soul within the comics and movies that they market. Activating people's imaginations, the target, work the hardest. With passion and heart, it's Escape Artist.
Alrighty, what's up everybody? How you guys doing? This is Marshall Couture, also known as Plex in hip-hop circles, and you're listening to the Escape Artist Podcast. How you guys doing? I'm doing all right. A lot of exciting things happening. I hope you enjoyed the last podcast last week. It was me interviewing Jim Lujan. Actually, there was two podcasts. It was a creature double feature. So that was fun. But I put two out because it's been so long, that I put out podcasts. And the first one I put on to relaunch the podcast was recorded like 3 or 4 months ago. So it was dated, so it kind of was a crappy way to launch the podcast. But, you know, luckily, you know, a lot of you guys already know what goes on with this podcast. I think a lot of my previous listeners, people in the art community, have jumped back on board because everybody seemed to be excited about it. So thank you for coming back and listening. It looks like, according to FeedBurner, and I know that FeedBurner statistics aren't super, super reliable, but it's the only way I know how to gauge downloads and stuff at this point. I'd like to learn more about analytics and how to gauge this stuff, because it's part of the business, but it's not the most important part. But it is something I think that's good to keep an eye on. And, you know, it's hard to know when you're making progress. And I really want to track that stuff, like, because I want to, have downloads of my comics and all that stuff, and I want to know how many people have downloaded it, how many people are reading it. You know, I want to make goals and hit some of those marks, you know, so I kind of need to have ways to track things. So, but that's another podcast for another day. But the point is, so far from what I've seen, I got about 17 people listening to the podcast, which is a super low number, of course, but for me, just jumping back in, you know, that's good. You know, I don't know. I think maybe I've gotten up to like 20 something at some point. But you know, it's a rebuilding stage, and I want to build this thing up where there's a ton of listeners. I want as many people to listen to this as possible. Just to be, that's the whole thing. If you've listened to this before, you know that I'm all about the community, and want more listeners. And if you want to help with that, of course, you can always go to iTunes and leave a review. That's definitely helpful. Please do that. So today, you know, it's going to be kind of an update thing. I don't necessarily have a super crazy topic, because the last two podcasts, you know, were a little more topic heavy, one being the topic of just literally Jim Lujan, then the other one being the law of attraction and Patreon and my thoughts on that. But today, you know, it's kind of, I really wanted to just get a few things, not off my chest, but just some things I've been thinking out about and kind of converse about them here. Number one, I guess the biggest kind of thing that's really cool is I have launched my Patreon officially. By the time that the last two podcasts came up, it was launched already as well. But, it was kind of a really soft launch. And, it's officially up, and I've done a lot of tweaking to it to make it even better since the last podcast. And I'm still going to be continuing to tweak it. I put a bunch more milestones up there, and those milestones I want to still tweak further, because I want to put like rewards for people. for what if I reach this many whatever pledges, then everybody gets this so and so or whatever. So there's going to be some cool stuff coming down the pipe for that. So far, I got the. This was kind of a cool thing. I got the PDFs for Glyph, the Terror of Tusk, and Glyph, and the Monster Munch Mystery. Those two comics, I got those put together, and I have three pledgers so far. You know, shout out to Nathan Siebold, Peter Palmiotti, and Michael Rauro. All have been awesome supporters in the past, and they, you know, went ahead and helped me out with the Patreon. So I'm so happy to have my first three pledgers, and that's really awesome. Definitely, you know, looking to continue that trend and build this thing one pledger at a time. So there's that. If you don't know, you know, how Patreon works, it's basically, you know, a way to be a patron of certain artists. And you can kind of be a patron of a lot of people just by going, you know, to a few different people and pledging $1 a month. That's a big help, you know. Obviously, the more you pledge, the better. You can pledge, you know, however much you want. And there's different pledge levels depending on who, you know, some people only have one pledge level and you can pledge however much you want. And it's more of a donation thing. For me, I have pledge levels with rewards, and, you know, you can, there's about five of them there, and you can do those levels to get the rewards or whatever you want just to help out, so, and it's only a monthly thing, it's not per, you know, comic page or anything for me, but some people do have it set up where it's like every time they publish a new page, they get, you know, the pledges, and you can cap that off as well, say if, you know, you're pledging $5 per page, but I can only spend, hey, $15 per month. Okay, so you top it off at 15. And, you know, if the person puts out four pages, they're going to get, you know, the first three, they'll get $5. And then for the fourth one, they'll only get pledges for people who haven't capped it off past the first four pages. And that's fine, too. That's a really, it's just awesome that you can be supported, you know, one bit at a time to do this stuff now. You know, I mean, you could always have that too and set it up yourself, but this is a much more concise way of doing it. So yeah, enough about the Patreon. Like I said, thank you guys for the support on that. And if anybody goes there and has any advice, I'm open to suggestions. You know, at first I just kind of put it up there, and then, you know, I noticed that it was a little more, you know, I'm a creator, please support me driven, and less, you know, you're the audience and this is what you get driven, and this is how I'm going to do things to help you and whatnot driven. Like, I wanted it to be that way from the get-go, but, you know, it's a lot of information to put in at first. So, you know, I started small, and then I asked for some advice, got some good advice from Jamie Gamble. I'm trying to think of who else, you know, Peter Palmiotti, I think, helped, Nathan helped, Ryan gave me some input, a bunch of people, I think Michael Vallad, you know, a lot of you guys, Michael Waro gave me some good input, you know, so thank you guys for that. But anybody else who has any more thoughts and suggestions, yeah, feel free to please let me know. All right, enough, like I said, enough about the Patreon. The other thing I wanted to talk about, too, was there's this awesome app, man. If you have an iPhone, and it's coming soon to Android as well, but unfortunately it's not there. But I actually talked to the developers a little bit on Instagram because they were happy that I was posting about it. And they said that they're working hard to get get it on the Android. They really want it on there. So it will be coming soon, hopefully, you know. But on the iPhone, there's an awesome app called, I don't even know how to pronounce it, because it's kind of a weird, but it's basically Sketchy, but there's no, you know, E in it or whatever, so it's like S-K-T-C-H-Y, so they took, it's Sketchy without the vowel E, but yeah, Sketchy app, go check that out, I don't know. For me, it's really cool. Some people might be like, oh, people get art for free and blah, blah, blah. But it's not like you're really giving anything to anybody. You know, I don't even know what kind of resolution is on there. But basically, the idea of it is it's really cool for artists and non-artists. And I feel like it's a way to get some practice out there that also might possibly get, you know, people, more people to check out whatever it is you have linked to on there. It's very similar to Instagram or Twitter. And what happens is people can go on there who are artists or aren't artists, and they can post pictures up of themselves, or some people put their dog or their cat. They put all kinds of pictures up there. Some just put funny things and they want to see what happens. And then, so those people put pictures up, and then artists can come in and just go through pictures and cue them up for themselves to draw, to sketch. And it's just a great thing to practice. I've been just doing a lot of profiles. So far I've done three. People will request you sketch them and stuff like that, or you can just go find your own. And then people will sketch you too. There's some other, I haven't gotten anybody to sketch me yet, but you know, I'll think it'll be really cool to see some art from other people sketching me. So that's just a fun app. It's all about fun, and it's not like, you know, you get people to do art for you for free, and then, you know, I technically guess people could take the images and put up on their websites or something, but that's kind of the cost of it. If you want to do that, I mean, you can do it on your own privately, but this is a way to socially do it. And for me, I don't care. Like, I'll do these little sketches. For me, it's just practice. I'm not, you know, marketing it as a product or anything. So it's just practice, and hopefully it'll, you know, it's linked to my website. So people will be like, oh, this artist is cool. I wonder what else he does, you know. Let me check out his website. If that happens, that's great. If it doesn't, that's fine too, because I'm really mostly in it for the practice. I need to draw as much as I possibly can. Right now I'm working on two comics actively, and I also have some of my own projects that I'm kind of working on in development. I have, you know, Glyph. I was thinking about getting more chapters out with that, and also another project, which I'll talk about later. So I technically have like four comics going on, but I'm really only working on two, and one is even more dominant than the other at this moment. But it'll keep going back and forth, where one will be, you know, more dominant than the other. But I'll talk about the comic projects later. That's going to be like the main meat of this podcast. But yeah. So this app is really cool. I really enjoy it. I definitely suggest you guys go check it out. You artists out there, it's a good way to just have something to practice, and like I said, have some social interaction as well. And I guess that's it, but it's, you know, I'll put a link in the show notes so you can just click it and go check it out. And but basically it's sketchy without an E. You know, if you want to go to the App Store, just type that in. And you will find it. And like I said, the people who develop it are really nice. You know, they've talked back and forth to me a few times, during this whole thing. And so it's definitely good in that area as well. So fun. Go check it out. Practice, get better at drawing. And I am going to do the same. All right, I'm going to pause it right now, and then, I'll get back to the main topic. See you in a minute. Okay, so comic projects. First of all, I always have the links for Sketch Daily Facebook group and the Comic Projects Facebook group on my podcast. So go to the show notes and check that out if you want to, or go to Facebook and type in, hopefully it's easy to find, type in, you know, Sketch Daily or Comic Projects. And the group should come up, and we are growing in members on both of them every day. You know, we get a lot of members. We're trying to focus on reducing the spam, which it's not too bad, but there was a little rash of it in the Comic Projects thing, and we're kind of hunkering down on that. And then also with the Comic Projects one, we're going to be launching another mini comics challenge. This will be our third one. So definitely, if you're interested in participating in that, keep your eyes on the Comic Projects Facebook group. We'll be launching that. Well, we'll be in talks about that very soon, and then probably launch it in a month or two, something like that. So yeah. And let's see. So yeah, what I wanted to talk about mostly was the projects I got going with comics and all that. First of all, the main one I've been working on lately is The Travelers, which is a book that my buddy Lyriz, kind of like lyrics without the C. he's a hip-hop artist that kind of runs in the circles that I kind of run in with some of the Christian hip-hop and stuff. I don't know that he's necessarily, you know, labeled a Christian hip-hopper or whatever, but he is friends with a lot of guys I'm friends with and stuff, and does music with them. And so he approached me about doing a comic. So I was like, all right, cool, let's check it out. I kind of didn't want to add another project this year because I got a lot of things going on, but, you know, I was like, well, let's hear it. And we started talking and we got into it, and it was kind of like a sort of kind of vampire story, but a more like futuristic type of vampire story. And, you know, I don't know, I'm not always into the monster thing. Like, I like I'm into it as far as I, you know, enjoy watching movies and stuff with it. But, you know, it's not necessarily what I want to write necessarily, but, you know, I kind of told them the stuff that I was into, and, you know, I was like, well, let's listen to it. And there were some interesting twists and ideas that he was putting towards it. And then he also mentioned that, you know, he's totally down for, like, me being co-creator, co-owner and everything. You know, he's willing to give me money for, like, art supplies and things like that. So I was like, well, kind of the best of both worlds here. I mean, he's not going to be paying me, because it's a collaborative work. But, you know, we're both going to contribute. And he's already put some money down. I could tell he's, like, a really hard worker. So that's a plus, too. A big plus, actually. Almost even more important than money is working with somebody who is down to get things done. And so it's been really good. Me and him have been chatting on Facebook messages, which, man, I do a lot of work on Facebook messaging. That's like my main mode of, like, if you want to contact me or connect with me, Facebook message is the way to go. I'm always on there talking to people. Sometimes it gets overwhelming, but usually it's not too bad. So we're working on stuff, and he, you know, already wrote the first comic, you know, and we went back and forth, and it's cool. It's a really fun thing, because it's a really fun experience to co-create this thing, because it really is a lot of me and a lot of him in the writing. And he's totally open to me, like, changing stuff up. And, you know, I don't know. It's really enjoyable and fun to go back and forth with this stuff. And he, you know, kind of gave me the script, but it wasn't like, he had, like, scenes and stuff, like, up to, I think it was, like, 28 scenes or something, or 24. But he said, you know, you can figure out the pages how you want, if you like, and that's right up my alley. I'm like, yeah, that's what I definitely want to do. I totally, like, changed up the whole flow of it and made one part that was a flashback be the main action, and then, you know, the other stuff is almost like a flashback. But it's really cool how they're going to kind of merge together. and I think the story is becoming clearer and clearer. I mapped it all out last night, and I got up to like 18 pages, it's going to be like 18 pages, but I'm going to pause it right here. So yeah, this comic is going to be taking me to about 18 pages, and you know, it's kind of weird because most comics go to, nowadays, they go about to 20 to 24, and you know, so I'm two less than 20, but I might be able to extend it out and everything. We shall see. But yeah, it's gonna be a pretty cool ride. And it'll be good for an intro, and we're going to get used to figuring out how to fill out, you know, 20, 24 pages as we go. And I think it's good for an intro, and we'll throw in, like, some pinups and, you know, a letters column and whatever. We'll throw in some extra stuff to make up for, you know, the two pages that are kind of missing, unless we can, like I said, extend the pages. But I don't want to extend it. I don't want to extend it in a way that's going to mess up the storytelling either. So, it is what it is. So, yeah, so I'm working on that comic, and it's really exciting. We're going to go to some fun places with this. He's already working on the second issue. And, yeah, I guess I'll leave it at that because... I'm not sure exactly how much we want to let go just yet about the story, but we do have, you know, we started a Facebook profile for the travelers, so you can put in a friend request and we'll, you know, we will, definitely obviously accept it. And we also started a website, thetravelerscomic.com. But it's not much right now. We just put it up, so we're going to be developing that. So we're really trying to make this like its own like marketing campaign slash. We just really want everybody to read the story, as many people as possible. We're actually have a pretty ambitious goal. It's, you know, asking a lot, but I think it's like I said with the law of attraction thing I was talking about. It's kind of putting a big number out there, but, you know, if you reach, what do they say, there's that that saying, if you're reaching for if you're reaching for the universe and you'll only get to the moon or something, that's kind of a good thing, because at least you're reaching and you got somewhere. I don't know, they probably say Mars or who knows. But there's a saying out there for that. And anyways, I think it's good to kind of reach as far as you can and have big goals. And hey, if you reach them, that's awesome. If you don't, at least you got probably a lot further than you would have if you were trying for a small goal. So our goal is to get 10,000 readers. Really big goal. I looked at the numbers of how many, I'm not saying people buying the comic necessarily either. I mean, obviously we would love that, but, you know, we'll probably put it out digitally, at least partially for free, or maybe the first issue for free. I don't know. We haven't figured that all out yet, but then we'll have digital things for the second and third issues and whatnot. It's going towards a finished graphic novel, but we're going to have issues and go issue by issue. There's a lot of people beeping. But yeah, for the initial first issue, we're going to be reaching for 10,000 readers. And that's part of what I was talking about with the tracking and all that. Like, I would really love to figure out how to track this. And I guess with analytics is probably the best way. So, like Google Analytics or something. And I don't know, we'll see. There's got to be a way. Maybe I can use FeedReader or something to do it. We'll see. If you guys know more about how to do that, please let me know. and or have any ideas, creative ideas. Maybe it'll be a PDF download and we can track the downloads. But I really want, I wish I could track who is actually reading it. And I guess that's probably something nobody can really track, because, you know, even Marvel, they have, you know, I was looking at their numbers, and a low number for them is 20,000, you know, purchases. So if I could get just 10,000 readers, not even purchases, that'll be awesome, you know, because that many people will hopefully get hooked into the story and maybe buy the issue, or maybe buy a t-shirt, or buy the second issue, or, you know, whatever, however it all works. Or maybe we'll start a Patreon for it or something, you know. So, and maybe that's the best way to track it. Maybe make it a Patreon thing where, you know, people can read the first issue for free, but if they want the other issues, they're going to have to either pledge to Patreon or buy a copy or something like that. So that might be the way to do it. So, but we're shooting for readers. You know, we want people to actually read the book. That's what's important. It's not so much the sales, you know. So that all being said, you know, first we got to make a product we're proud of. That's the most important thing. First and foremost, and then the second, obviously, is to get as many readers as we can. So we're going to be pushing those goals. I mean, you know, this is going to be my first time. It will probably end up being my first real comic, like real deal floppy comic, like the dream, you know. I've always, you know, when I dreamed of making comics, it wasn't initially mini comics, although I did get to the point where I really wanted to make mini comics too. But you know, obviously I read regular comics first, and that was where it was like, oh, I want to make comics, you know. So this will be the first time doing that, unless I happen to get another one out before that, but probably not. Because even the other ones I'm working on are in a different stage of development, you know. So I guess that's a good segue to talk about the other projects. For the other projects, the other one I've talked about before, it's the one I'm doing with Jamie Gamble. And I don't know what the last thing I told you guys about. I think I did mention this already a little bit. But he did eventually, you know, because we've been talking about this for, I don't know, maybe 2 years or something. And we kind of worked on the characters a little bit together and the basic plot and story. So it's another collaborative effort. In this one, he's a little more prominently the writer, and I'm a little less prominently the writer. I've just kind of put some input in it here and there. And then obviously through storytelling, there might be little changes I make and whatnot. Just to kind of, you know, just to make it the best I can. But what happened is he did write 6 pages of it for me. And the script's there. I've gone through it. And I even went to the point of thumbnailing, like the initial thumbnails, which the initial thumbnails will probably be the final thumbnails. I don't know. I mean, I kind of, my process is weird. Like, I almost would skip the thumbnail stage. And sometimes I might even do that and just draw it on the page, kind of draw the thumbnail on the actual comic page. And if I don't like it, I'll erase it and draw another one. I don't know why. I just like to get to the comic and get going, you know. And it's probably not the smartest way to do things, but at the same time, it's, I think with comics, it's such an overwhelming task that I could just keep making excuses like, oh, I gotta get my anatomy down better, or I gotta get, you know, my head construction down better, I gotta, like, learn how to draw landscapes and proportion and perspective better before I even start. But no, at some point you just gotta dive in and do it. You know, that's the problem. You know, and I keep trying to keep thinking about the way it was in the old days, you know, the way it was when Stan Lee was just giving people a plot, they'd go and churn out pages, especially Kirby and Stan was the biggest one. But they, you know, there was a lot of artists on Marvel who were doing that. So, you know, that kind of really inspires me. Because back then, I mean, especially in the very, very beginning of when comics and Marvel started out, you know, in different companies really, but I just know a little more about the Marvel stuff. But, you know, these were never meant to be like pieces of art exactly. You know, this was like, they had advertising artists originally. It was kind of run like a factory method, like the Henry Ford method, assembly line idea, where they hired new artists who were just itching to get some work, and they hired old sort of retired artists, and these artists were like advertising artists. You know, they draw the pictures and ads and stuff. That's why the old comics sometimes look kind of like that. You know, they look like old ads and maybe stiffer drawings. And you know, superhero comics weren't even a thing barely back then. It was either funny animal comics or like war comics or things like that. And you know, the superhero thing kind of came in and came out, and there were times where it wasn't really very popular, and eventually, obviously, when Marvel really, you know, really hit the road with, like, Fantastic Four and stuff, that's when superhero comics became the most prominent form of comics. But before then, it wasn't. But history lesson aside, which you guys probably know more about it than me, but, you know, it was just people, you know, they hired probably at a very super cheap rate, you know, people who would just do the work and were grateful to have the work to do. And they churned out page after page quickly, and they just knocked these things out, you know. But it wasn't like a super amazing art form. You know, obviously these artists were great and everything, but it was more about getting the books out. And that's kind of... And obviously, I want it to be more of an art form, personally. But I use some of those examples, and especially when, you know, Marvel really got into the superhero thing even more, when Kirby and Stan Lee were really going at it with all the, you know, X-Men and Spider-Man was Ditko, but still, you know, all that era, and Fantastic Four and all that stuff. You know, even then, they were churning them out, and they weren't collector's items yet. The comics weren't yet part of the direct, it wasn't a direct market, you know, marketing method yet. It was still in grocery stores, on spinner racks and things. So they were just pumping as much as they could out. I mean, there's more to it too, because Marvel wasn't pumping them out crazy, but DC was pumping them out more because of the contracts they had with the distributors and stuff. But, you know, there was that kind of almost assembly line type of method. And I want to get, you know, to that point where I've got some books under my belt, and I don't want to be precious about all this stuff. I want to be sort of precious, but I want to get work done, get work stories out. I have too many ideas to be sitting on every little idea and, you know, trying to perfect it before I put it out. It's just not going to happen that way. And I'm also trying to do this as a business. So, you know, I'm not even going to necessarily draw every comic that I create. I want to be a writer as well. So, and we'll get more into that in a minute too. But the point being, you know, I just want to get this stuff going and start it. And I'm at the beginning level still. So, but I'm going to be pushing my art. I've been practicing a lot. Like I said in one of the other podcasts, I'm trying to work hard on my fundamentals. This sketchy app is a part of that, you know. I'm going to be getting my head structures down a lot better. And I've already gotten them down a little better. But, you know, there's a big difference to me between looking at a picture and drawing it, or looking at even a person in real life and drawing it, compared to drawing from your head. Drawing from your head is a lot harder, really. if you want to make it look decent and at least semi-realistic, even cartoony, if you want it to be within proportions that are appealing and pleasing to the eye and don't look ugly, you know, and you have to, it's really hard to get those proportions right. And then, you know, I don't want all my faces to look the same, you know. Yes, that's been a way that people have done it in the past. I mean, if you look at Kirby faces, a lot of his faces are very similar, but he did have a lot of different ones too. But there's kind of a basic face that he does and little variations of that. I want my faces to look very, you know, a lot more different maybe. I don't know. We'll see how my style develops, but I kind of want my faces to look different, you know. Not trying to say I'm better than Kirby. I mean, I'll definitely never reach that level because I'm not going to be churning out comics the way he did. And plus, he's just super amazing anyways. I don't think anybody could ever claim to do better than Kirby. But, you know, we've made advancements in different ways. And there are a lot of artists who have expanded the vocabulary of comics and style and all that greatly. So, you know, this project with Jamie Gamble is going to be almost more centered on like tiny episodes, and it will be printed, I'm hoping, and I know me and him have talked about this, so that was a long time ago, so I'm not sure exactly where he stands at this moment, but we were planning to put out issues, but maybe it'll be in like episodes kind of like Kirby, how he would kind of split one comic into like three episodes. I want to learn more about why he did that stuff. It's interesting, but, you know, maybe that's kind of how it'll go. Right now, I guess we have the first episode. It kind of ends in one little tiny story. We'll see. Maybe he's just going to, when he continues the writing, maybe he'll just continue the story so it becomes like a 24-page comic. We shall see. He's a busy guy. Go check out jamiegamble.com, Monkey Pipe Studios as well. I'm not sure. I think it's monkeypipestudios.com. I'm not sure. But I'll put a link in the show notes. He's been pumping out work, you know, which is awesome to see. Because, you know, Hero Code was kind of on hiatus, it seemed, for a long time. So I'm glad to see that things are starting to go forth. And Black Wraith is being published. That was a successful Kickstarter. And from what I hear, he's got more Kickstarters in the mix coming down the line. So, really cool. And also, if you want to hear more about Jamie Gamble or a lot of different artists, check out Peter Palmiotti's podcast. He's been interviewing a lot of people. A lot of the people who actually listen to this podcast and a lot of people who I would like to interview. But, you know, I'm probably not going to get to interviews very often because I just don't have any way to record it very well, and it's also something I kind of do on the road usually. I do want to do more interviews, so if anybody has any suggestions on some programs I can use to record an interview over like Skype or something, or over, you know, Google Hangouts or whatever, let me know, please, because I would like to do more interviews. But for now, definitely go check out Independent Road with Peter Palmiotti. He's got a lot of cool interviews there. Ryan Wheaton, like I said, check out the Jamie Gamble one. I learned a lot about, you know, Jamie Gamble's life and passion through that. It was really cool. He also interviewed Jim Lujan recently. I think he's got one coming up for Javier Hernandez. All awesome stuff. So I've been really enjoying his podcast, so check that out. So those are the first two comics that I got going on. And that one's called, at this point, I don't know if this is a full definite title, but the working title is Resident Aliens. And it is about, like, aliens who come to Earth, and they were kind of enslaved, and there's more to it. But, you know, I'll kind of let it be at that until we develop it more and stuff. But that I'll be working on that very soon. I already did some concept drawings, and I'm going to pause it again. So, yeah. There's those two comics that I'm working on. And I guess there's not going to be a lot to say about Glyph, so I'll get that one over with. But basically with Glyph, I don't know. You know, I'm a little feeling a little different about Glyph than I was before. It's the thing is through doing these other comics, I kind of have seen how it flows a little better with some different projects, and I just don't get that flow as much with Glyph. Like, I can't for the life of me figure out his world, like, or settle, I should say, on his world and where he is and what his purpose is and, you know, what his motivations are and stuff. And you know, I kind of had a basic little thing, but I literally, when I first started Glyph, you know, he's always been kind of an idea of, like, oh, it'd be cool that if there was a graffiti artist and his art came to life. Like, that's been something I've thought about since probably high school, like 20 years ago. But I never really thought much beyond that. And then when it came to make a mini comic, I was, like, having a hard time figuring out what I should do, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, I'll just play around with this idea I've had forever. And, you know, and my idea was, okay, it's hard, really hard to make a comic, so I'm going to have three elements, basically. Two characters and place that it all, whatever happens, happens in. So I created Tusk, which basically was an elephant with big tusks, and there was not much more to the character design than that. And I was just going to have him fight Glyph. And that was going to be down in a subway where he was practicing some graffiti art. And no world was developed, nothing else was, no other characters or anything. It was just, that was what's going to happen. I'm going to put together, like, kind of a loose, this happens, then this happens, then this happens type of thumbnail situation together, and just go at it and get it done. And that's what I did. And then I kind of figured out the dialogue, I think afterwards, or while I was drawing it and stuff. Some of it was beforehand, and I kind of came up with the idea of, you know, Tusk trying to recruit him into his gang, and Glyph, like, just saying, no, there's no way, and then they fight and stuff. That's basically the gist of the first mini comic of Glyph, and a lot of people really liked it. It was simple. That's one thing I'm learning, is just simple ideas are sometimes the best ideas, that just come out of, like, a place of primal, natural, you know, energy, inspiration or something, you know. So that was how Glyph started. And then on the second one, mini comic, I was going to try to do something else for a mini comic just to see. And I was just like, the thing that came easily to me, and since I couldn't settle on anything, was, well, why don't I just do another Glyph story, continue that out. So I created a few other characters. I said, okay, I'm going to expand the characters and have a couple places where they are at. And so I did that, and that was a fun experiment. And you know, I kind of developed the story a little more, expanding the fact that people are trying to recruit Glyph, and they're trying to get to Glyph through his brother. And he had, like, a little sidekick guy that helped him, who was Stick-Up Kid. And, you know, I made it take place in a comic store, because, hey, why not? What's more fun than a comic store story? So, and it was what I know. You know, they say, write what you know. So I went with that. Also, during that time, I kind of expanded Glyph to this kind of grand epic in my mind, like, backstory and everything, only because I wasn't sure where to go with it, and I wasn't sure how to explain a character who does graffiti and how is he a superhero if he's kind of doing a crime? So I kind of made it in a city called Bap City, where it's like a fantasy city where graffiti isn't a crime. It's actually, you know, it's actually encouraged because the city is based off of hip-hop. And then there's like this whole other grand story. But it never felt like... It felt too big and too weird and too out there. Like, I just couldn't fit the pieces together very well. And I started writing I wrote kind of a third story, too, that was going to lead into a video game. And I even drew, like, 5 pages of that for another mini comic. And that was kind of interesting. It was developing the story even more. I found a mentor character for Glyph. And so that's kind of how Glyph has been. And I might just kind of keep it going as almost like a freestyle comic. And I might even finish that mini comic at some point. Maybe I'll do that with this new mini comics challenge. I don't know. But the video game thing is kind of way on the back burner because... So I might not lead it to a video game anymore because I just came to realize that it's going to be super hard to make a video game. Or maybe there's an easier way and I could still do it. I don't know. We'll see. But I kind of bit off more than I could chew. The more and more I learned about video game creation, the more I realized that I might want to prepare a little more and make it a real good thing, really good game, or maybe I'll still stick to kind of like a simple one. We'll see. There's so many other things I want to do now, and like I said, the writing on Glyph has been kind of hard for me. I've even considered getting people to help me write it. But like I said, through doing all these other comic stories and seeing how easy some of them come, I mean, well, really, the ones that I have other writers on, those are easy because I'm not really writing them. I'm just kind of editing them, you know. Like, I've done a lot of things to kind of say, well, you know, I don't understand why this character is doing this, because the way I look at it, this is his motivation and stuff like that. So I've kind of guided, you know, with the one with Lyra's, I've kind of helped guide him because he's new at this too. He's done a lot of writing with music and stuff, but you know, when it comes to storytelling, there's a lot to it, and you know, I think he's done some research himself, but he's new at this too, and I'm pretty new at it as well, but I've done a lot of research, you know. I've read books and this and that, so I'm kind of trying to bring in some of those things I've learned, basically. And it's cool. Like I said, it's a really cool back and forth situation. So that's, you know, a little different. But the thing that makes me think that maybe I shouldn't focus on Glyph so much is because this other comic idea that I'm writing right now is coming really naturally. Like, it's making a lot of sense. It's like, it's easy to write, you know what I mean? And I'm not saying that anything you write has to be easy to write, but, you know, when you're trying to figure it out for years and you're still, you know, a few years and you're still not really getting anywhere solid with it besides a freestyle comic, I think maybe it's either a sign to let it go or a sign to just let it be a freestyle comic with loose ends all over the place for fun. Which I think that's fine, you know. People seem to like some of the story stuff going on with Glyph, so I probably will continue it. But it won't be like my serious project necessarily. So once again, I'm going to pause it here, and then we'll get back to talking about the last comic project I have going on, and then we'll close it up. Hopefully this isn't going too long. I kind of feel like it might be just because I've been recording it for hours, but I've been pausing it also for long periods of time because I've just been busy all day driving around doing stuff. So, yeah, I'll talk to you in a minute. So, I'll try to babble on a little more. Hopefully, you guys aren't suffering too much. So yeah. So Glyph, I kind of got a little tired of Glyph, I guess. I don't know. It's like you don't want stuff to be such a struggle to write sometimes. So I guess that's what's up with that. But yeah. So this other project that I've been writing and really into has come a lot easier, sort of. I mean, it's something I thought about a long time ago, and it's even one of those things, like, it's super exciting. It's one of those things where I'm almost afraid to tell people about it, because it's a cool idea and I don't want anybody to steal it, which is weird for me because I share everything. I share even crappy drawings, you know. I share literally everything unless I'm told not to, and that's usually not, that rarely happens. And you know, I'm probably just gonna share this too. Because I don't, you know, I'll share parts of it, but I'll try to keep some of the gold nuggets, you know, for the readers when they finally come to support it and whatnot. So, but basically, this is the working title, and I'm not 100% sure. It started off as a different title, but the working title is Mecha World, A Love Story. So it's kind of that play on contrast there, where it's like, you know, obviously Mecha World is going to have a lot of robot type things, and then calling it A Love Story is, you know, obviously playing on that whole, you know, robots don't have emotions thing. But there's a lot more to it than that. Which is obviously, it's been done. That whole idea's kind of been done many times. But I'm kind of taking, I hope, like kind of a different approach to it. I did share this, what I've written so far, which is really just world, can I talk? It's literally just world building at this point. But in my mind, I'm starting to work out a plot little by little, and I just need to put some more work into it, and I'm sure I'll be getting a plot down pretty quickly, because a lot of this has been coming pretty quickly, and it's not like super overwhelming. It's just a cool idea and a cool story, and there's heart to it, you know. So basically, it is, you know, a world that has already been overrun for the most part by robots, quote unquote. And so that's like the world, but there's some weird things about it. Even though they have eradicated humanity, they kind of call themselves humans, so they're kind of like a delusional robot race. And let's see. So the main character is a glitchy, kind of a glitchy robot that has, you know, short circuit situations going on, and you know, he's misfiring, and he's almost like a schizophrenic type of, psychotic type of character. But through those little cracks in his robot psyche, I guess, even though it's more, you know, obviously computer than brain or whatever, through those cracks is where that, you know, this story is, there's going to be motivation, and there's going to be some interesting things. And basically in this world, it's going to be, you know, like I said, all overrun by robots predominantly. There's not going to be much organicness left, even to the nature of the planet. There is, though, but it's going to be, there is going to be somewhat of a mix, and that's kind of what's interesting, you know, visually and aesthetically about this book, is it is going to be like a lot of different levels of mixture between robot and organic living things. So I'm going to have a lot of opportunity to create some really crazy looking characters and monsters and stuff like that. And I'm being careful. There's some major things I'm kind of holding back because, but still trying to give you enough like juice to make it interesting. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's kind of the basic idea. And it's basically one robot against the world type of thing, sort of. But there's also an organization that has their own agenda, but they are kind of going for good too, sort of. But they kind of, at first you would think they are not, that they're kind of a gangster type of group. So it's going to be interesting, and it's going to be very robotic and very organic all at the same time. A lot of experimental style art I want. And the thing is, what I don't know if I'm going to draw this yet. Because you may have seen in my streams and stuff, especially Instagram and Facebook and all that, that I've been trying to create this some mecha stuff, like some characters, and trying to learn how to draw, you know, machine type of stuff and create some characters. But I haven't been satisfied with any of it. There's been a little bit of glimpses of interesting things here and there, but it's more interesting in my mind than I'm able to get out on paper, unfortunately. And it's become a little frustrating because I'm like, I can see the vision and I want to make it happen, but I just don't have the skills yet to really make what is in my mind happen. And so this kind of brings me to a certain thing that I already was thinking about making comics that I don't actually draw. And like I said, becoming less precious, becoming less the guy who has to have his hands 100% doing 100% of all of the production. Because so far it's pretty much been that. Once in a great while I'll have a little bit of help from somebody, but for the most part I do 100% of everything of what I've created so far, with the music, the art, the toys, all that stuff. So that's not going to be very sustainable if I really want to get a lot of ideas out, and if I really want to make a business out of this. I'm never going to get enough stuff done to really build that, you know. If you think about these comic companies, especially the big two, even when they were first starting out, you know, they're putting out like 20 titles, and a lot of them are misfires. A lot of them aren't ones that people are into. I mean, now they put out hundreds of titles and stuff, but, you know, at other times, they were only putting out like 20 titles, and certain things didn't work. They scrapped it all together and tried something new, you know? So if they're putting out 20 titles and barely making it by, you know, how do I expect to do one or two or three titles and make a big bang with it and get to the point where I'm making a living off of it? Not gonna happen, you know. I mean, some people do it with one title. I mean, Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird, right? That's their names, right? Freaking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But that was two people pushing one thing, and once they did get it up and running, I mean, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is notoriously known for having a lot of different awesome artists on it. And then, you know, the animated series and the movies and all that stuff, like, you know, that's a rare thing that an indie title would do something like that. And there's other examples, and there's also, I think, luckily, in this time, day and age, there are going to be a lot more people who are able to do that. But personally, I feel like I'm very inspired by like Javier Hernandez. He created El Muerto and actually got it as a movie. He created it as a comic book. That was his first intent. But, you know, he happened to be lucky enough that somebody, you know, noticed his thing and wanted to make it into a movie. And so now he has a movie of, like, his first comic that, you know, he's kind of known for and stuff. And, you know, that's awesome. But, like, that's, you know, I don't think that movie, you know, is sustaining him, you know, or anything. You know, he does other things, and now he's trying to put out as many more characters as he can, and he's trying to find ways where he can put these characters more out. And, you know, I'm really inspired by that guy, you know. And I, you know, personally, I want to do a similar thing. You know, I want to put out a lot of characters, put out a lot of good stories and stuff. And, but I think I need some help, you know. I don't think I'm going to be able to do it on my own. So I'm really looking forward to getting some artists, getting some colorists, getting some... I mean, that's one big thing, too, is I'm not really that good at coloring. It takes me forever. And it's just not, you know, it would look so much better if somebody else did it. And it would come out faster. So I really want to be able to hire colorists for some of these books and stuff. And, you know, I'm going to try to probably do some of it myself to start out. But eventually, you know, I'm going to need some help. So with this book, I'm actually thinking about going 100% writer and creator, but hire people to do the art. Even in the creation of the character design, I have ideas for character designs that I can kind of sketch out my idea, but I want it to look way better than that. So I'm going to probably find somebody who's good at drawing mecha stuff to at least help me with the character design. And then as far as the artist, they don't have to be, like, the most amazing mecha artist that you've ever seen. But I do want them to be able to draw it really cool. I already was thinking about maybe seeing if I could hire my buddy Michael Vallad to do it. But I don't, you know, mecha, even though he's a big fan of all that stuff, I don't know if that's really his forte or whatever. But... you know, he is interested in it, and I've talked to him about it already behind the scenes. So we'll see how that works out. Or I might be able to find somebody else who is better at drawing mecha, you know. Or who knows, maybe I'll be able to practice to the point where I can do it. But, you know, at this point I'm open to a lot of different options. And I already kind of have created the character. Like, I have one body shot that's kind of more just scribbles, because I just was able to at least get the shape down. But as far as the individual parts and stuff, I don't really know how to draw that, or even exactly how to envision, like, the little parts that go into, like, a robot, you know? So, I want somebody who does know how to put those pieces together to help me with that. And plus, there's a little more to this character than just, you know, a normal, like, mecha design. This is kind of, to put it, you know, in a way without giving anything too much away, you know, it's a character where he's kind of puzzle pieced together with different parts from different robots type of situation. That's part of his character. So that's already, it's a challenge, because, and there's even more to it than that, and so it's like, it's a different kind of mecha than probably you have ever seen. Like, I have never seen anything like what I'm imagining. I'm sure it has been done, maybe, in some form or another. There's a lot of anime out there and a lot of manga. So you know, I'm not trying to fool myself into thinking I've created the new thing or whatever, but I'm going to be, I think, the first person to really put it forward like I'm going to put it forward. So yeah, I'm really excited about this project. And I heard a quote recently, I think it was like Seth Godin or something, or somebody, I'm not really sure, but they were saying that basically, you know, if you've had an idea for more than like a year and you haven't done it yet, you're probably too late, you know? and that's, you know, a wide generalization. Obviously, you know, you could sit on ideas for long, long, long periods of time and put it out and it'll still be fairly new and relevant and maybe even genius. Maybe that's your method and that's how it works. But, you know, I just used that little quote that I heard as a motivation, though, because there have been many times where I've come up with ideas, mostly with music, but also with art, too. A lot of art thing, comic characters and stuff. Where I had this idea and sat on it for years and years and years, and then come to find out somebody else did it, and they did it better than I could ever do it, you know? And that's one of the things that sucks the most, you know, with this creative stuff, is people get to your ideas first, because we're all, you know, wired somewhat the same. We're all human, and we all have, you know, generally some of the same influences, especially, you know, if you're a comic book fan, or you're an anime fan, or you're this fan or that fan. You know, you're going to see all the popular stuff. Everybody's going to see that. And then each person is going to get into their own little niches of things they like. But you're still going to, it's going to be within your sphere of sight or whatever, within your line of sight or something. So similar ideas are going to come to people, you know, especially if they have similar influences. So, you know, you want to try to get to those ideas first, I guess. And if you don't get to them first, that's okay too. Because, I mean, how many comic characters feature somebody with super strength, can fly or jump very high, and have a healing factor, an accelerated healing factor? I mean, that almost describes every comic character nowadays. Ever since Wolverine, everybody has a healing factor, you know. So, I mean, how many mutants are there out there, you know? So, you just have to do it your own way. It's just like anything. There could be a million comics podcasts, but, you know, everybody has their own voice, and you know, they have something unique to say and their own unique way to say it. So it's worth treading on ground that's already been tread on as well. But I can't help to be the type of artist who I've always wanted to find something unique. And I can't, that's what has been a big motivator for me, is kind of being innovative and stuff with design and characters and creations and stuff that I make. I don't know why, it's just in me to try, you know, even though, but I have a super healthy dose, for sure, of there's nothing new under the sun as well. Even the Bible says that. Y'all know I read that, so. So, you know, that's, I know I'm not recreating the wheel or anything, but, I would like to at least try and make something that is at least a mix of something you haven't quite seen mixed quite that way or something, you know? So that's kind of that whole tangent. But yeah, I'm looking to possibly get somebody to help me with some of these designs. You know, this project, because I'm not going to be doing everything, is going to cost a lot more, and I'm probably going to have to do a whole separate Kickstarter and or Patreon for this one project specifically, because I need a lot of help with it. But I really want to get it out there, and I'm going to keep pushing it out and keep drawing and trying to do the designs myself as much as I can, and I'm going to keep writing and hopefully have a good chunk of that put together this year, maybe, you know. It's definitely something I'm super passionate about, and I really would like to at least get the heart of it out there, you know, written down. And then hopefully I can start developing it as an actual comic. And I'm thinking I'll probably go the issue by issue towards a graphic novel, and it's one complete story. It's definitely going to be one complete story. I mean, eventually I might expand the world and whatnot and expand the story to go further. In fact, this one complete story tells the heart of this character's story that is most important, but I'll probably leave it in such a way, because I already have it kind of in my mind how this could work. I'm going to leave it in such a way that it can be expanded upon if I choose to, because it is such an interesting kind of character and a fun world to play in. So, but it is kind of shooting for the traditional graphic novel style book. Something kind of on almost like Akira. Not saying it's going to be as good as Akira or anything, but, you know, that kind of thickness, that kind of depth, you know, of a story and book, and even that kind of feel. It's going to be kind of that similar feel, but different. It's going to be a developed world, not it's going to be kind of post-apocalyptic, but not really, because it's already, the world has already been developed past the apocalypse, so it's going to be a new world type of thing, type of situation. I'm not saying apocalypse like I'm really going to have an apocalypse or whatever, but that type of story mixed with, you know, basically a civilization afterwards that has already built itself back up type of thing. I mean, that it's kind of way different than that, but you get my drift, I hope. And like I said, it'll have that kind of Akira feel to it. Even though I didn't even think of that until just now. This is the first time I thought, when I was just trying to think of what kind of graphic novel I'm really pushing towards. But that story, like a thick story of, like, I don't know, it's going to be good. I'm really excited about it. So yeah, that's that book, and it looks like I'm going to have to pause it again, but since I do have more time, I have a couple more little things I want to talk about concerning comics and all that stuff, so I'll be back in a sec. I was just somewhere, and I heard Eminem on the radio at a certain place, and just like, geez, still talking about his mom. Find a different topic, man. He's a dope MC and whatnot, but, you know, he's been harping on this one thing since he started. He's like almost 40. Come on, dude. Anyways, let's see. So, comics. Let's see. Yeah, so I want to get more ideas out. I really think that, I don't know, that was like my favorite part, like growing up when I was, when I first started getting into comics, you know, the first comic I actually like bought, like picked on my own, you know, my dad had like old Superman and Jimmy Olsen comics and stuff that I used to read, and there were some Batmans mixed in there and whatnot. You know, and there was different things, experiences with comics and stuff, but it wasn't until, you know, the 90s when, you know, all these artists like McFarlane and Liefeld and Eric Larson, basically the founders of Image, started getting popular that I just happened to really get into comics. And the first comic I ever actually picked that looked cool to me was X-Force 1. And, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, a lot of people love Liefeld with all their hearts. But yeah, no, there's a lot of Liefeld hate out there, and it is what it is, but I still think the guy's cool, whatever. You know, he has issues, but with his drawing, and, you know, it's hard to defend the guy when, you know, he draws, you know, Captain America with boobs and stuff. But that was one image, and, you know, yeah, he's had some flops and stuff, but to me, his stuff ends up having kind of a lot of energy. Not always. Sometimes it looks really super stiff. There's always way more lines than probably needs to be, but that's his style or whatever. And he does have anatomy issues at times. Actually, it's more proportion issues than anatomy, but people like to say anatomy because that's all they don't really look deeper into it. And he draws all his faces the same. There's a lot of things, you know. But I don't know why I'm on this tear about Liefeld. But, you know, I grew up with it. And I like some of his stuff. And he's not the be-all and end-all of my influence either. You know, right now I'm on such a Kirby kick. He's, like, the best thing ever. Like, I mean, there's a reason why he's called the King of Comics. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to see somebody who draws with energy and just amazing stuff, you know, look at Kirby. And, you know, it's funny. People rank on Liefeld and stuff, but there's a lot of things that Liefeld kind of has that is similar to what Kirby had. I'm not saying Liefeld's like Kirby or anything. I'm just saying, like, there are some similarity things, but, you know, if you look at Kirby's first drawings of Captain America, ironically enough, they're not that great. Like, the anatomy is actually pretty horrible, like, really bad. I mean, this is when Kirby first started. It wasn't long after he first started drawing comics that Joe Simon, right? When they came up with Captain America. And, you know, in the first issue that he drew him, his leg muscles are all messed up in one image I saw. There's a lot of inconsistencies from one side of his body to the other side of his body. Like, it is really not great. But Kirby always had that, like, energy that he brought in. And his style was way different at that point. It seemed like he was just kind of learning to draw there. You know, a lot of his characters were really stiff and whatnot. And then through the years, for a long time, like 10 or so years, you know, he developed his art and mastered it, you know. But the Kirby style that he's known for didn't even happen until, you know, around sometime in the 70s. I think it was in the 70s, yeah, pretty much, maybe late 60s. Basically when Fantastic Four and all that was starting up, that's where he really started to develop. And also the Monster Comics before that. He was doing a lot of Monster Comics before that. And, you know, it did slowly, gradually come through. But, you know, there was a drastic change at one point, it seemed like, where kind of during his time doing a lot of superhero stuff and starting with the Fantastic Four and, you know, X-Men and all that, where he really started to develop that blocky, you know, expressive style that, you know, was informed by a lot of the modern artists and stuff, modern age artists, you know, the expressionism and all that, and cubism and all that fun stuff, Picasso type stuff, all of that. And he even says he was influenced by that stuff. So that's when, that's the style that people kind of know him for mostly. I mean, his stuff, he has a lot of, he was already a really, you know, like, people went to him for hits. You know, people went, when they needed a hit book, they went to him way before that. But, you know, the style that people know him for is that 70s style, and I'm preaching to the choir here, or not even preaching, just talking. But I don't know why I'm on this thing, but anyways, that's who I am kind of am mostly influenced by nowadays is Kirby. Freaking love his stuff. I'm like obsessed. I don't know that my art mimics his stuff at all, really. Except for the energy. Well, I don't know if it mimics the energy either, but that's kind of my personal takeaway from it, is if I can channel that Kirby energy in my work, then I'll be a happy camper. That's what I love, is those dynamic action scenes, and even just, it didn't even have to be an action scene, just like, he just had a way to make, like, expand your, I don't know, I don't know, I think another thing is, like, his immense imagination, like, in storytelling and stuff, like, reading the books from the Fourth World stuff and DC and all that, you know, all the other stuff, like the Eternals and even Black Panther and stuff like that, and, you know, all the stuff he kind of did in that era, Space Odyssey 2001. I mean, the imagination of this guy is just through the roof, and the kind of stories, I mean, it's partially of the time, too, because, like, Planet of the Apes was, you know, something that happened around that time. Obviously, Space Odyssey, that movie was, you know, directly, he was drawing the comic for the movie, sort of, or it was a shoot-off of the movie. So there's a lot of threads of, like, commentary on humanity back in those old shows. Star Trek had a lot of that. You know, all these old sci-fi things, even Twilight Zone and stuff, it was all, like, commentaries on humanity. And I love those kind of stories. Like, and we don't really have those kind of stories anymore. That's not what I see in modern, or today's, like, movies and stuff. It's more smoke and mirrors, really. Special effects, you know. Wowing you with what they can do with technology. And, like, I don't even watch the comic book movies that much. Not because I have a problem with them. I just don't get to them. But, and there's a lot of, you know, I like them. You know, I usually like them. And people are all nitpicky about them. And I'm like, whatever. It's a movie. It's what they did with the characters. You know, calm down. And it's cool in its own right. But some of the kind of stories that Kirby was telling in his more original stuff, in the vast imagination, I mean, I can't even explain it, but it's just, it's wild. Some of it doesn't make, like, you know, logical sense, but it's still, you can understand it in a imaginary sense, in a almost a kid logic, even though a lot of his stuff was made for almost more of an adult audience. But it's got, like, surrealism in it, and, you know, there's just a lot of cool stuff, like, packed in his stories, especially his own original ones, which weren't all that popular compared to, you know, his stuff that he did with Stan Lee. It's interesting, that whole thing is pretty interesting, how that chemistry between Stan Lee and him was, like, the perfect mix. There's definitely a difference between a Kirby Stan Lee story and a Kirby by himself story. And I don't think one is better than the other, but obviously The ones with Stan Lee have, you know, become huge. But I'm not saying that makes it better at all. I enjoy his own original stuff even more. That's my favorite stuff. And, like, to me, the ultimate movie would be New Gods or something like that, or OMAC or something. Like, those would be freaking awesome movies to me. But they'd probably... it would be hard for them to get it right and please Kirby fans. And I'd probably have a hard time being pleased as well. I don't even want to get into that. I have visions for movies, man, like, that have the CGI stuff that's amazing, but at the same time make it look real, like, of that time, and almost like a black and white or sepia tone type of effects. So it looks almost old, like an old movie you'd watch, but you get some super fantastic stuff too. So, man, I don't even know if anybody's thinking of doing that kind of thing, but I'd love to see that. But anyways, I gotta pause it again. So yeah, I promise I'm almost done here. But yeah, Kirby's awesome. I came up in the 90s, and all those guys were, you know, influenced. They talked about how they were influenced by Kirby. And you may or may not like how they use that influence. I don't know. But personally, like, one of my favorites is Eric Larson. He really channels Kirby's style to a certain degree and some of his sensibilities. And he runs a really awesome Facebook group, actually, just literally titled Kirby! And, you know, I'll see if I can put a link in the show notes. It's like a closed group because some people, you know, there's a lot of Kirby groups out there, and there was, like, some kind of back and forth about Stanley and Kirby and this and that, and it became more fighting about situations than actually celebrating Kirby. So, you know, Eric wanted to make a forum that, a group that was more, you know, that didn't do that or whatever, and moderate that. And, you know, it's been growing and growing, and a lot of people are on there, and, you know, it's open to anyone. You know, you just got to put a request in, and Eric will approve it. And he's got other moderators, I think, too, and they'll approve it and just have a lot of awesome, fun discussions about Kirby's art and, you know, hit the history and, you know, kind of trying to figure out the thought process behind some of the different things he did and all that stuff. I've posted pictures of, like, my collection and, you know, just shots from comics and asked questions, and I've learned a lot about Kirby through that. And it's just fun to just kind of get into, you know, what Kirby did and stuff, and really, like, get under the hood of things. So that's fun. So hopefully I remember all these links. I'm gonna have to listen back and make sure I catch them all. Yeah, so it's all about comics right now, and, you know, it's kind of, to close it out, you know, this journey of, like, initially, when I was younger, getting into comics and thinking this is what I'm going to do for a living, and then getting distracted by music for a long time, and then, you know, still drawing and still being into comics and stuff, but being distractedly into them, and then, you know, I got more recently, you know, I got into the toys, the sticker stuff, the graffiti stuff, a lot of different things, video game, animation, all that stuff. You know, it's just all a lot of things that I've been wanting to do forever, and it's weird. It's kind of, I think I might be finally coming to a focus, I hope. I think it's all coming back to comics, and all that stuff is included in it, you know. Through doing these conventions, I did conventions, you know, a lot of it was to get the toys going, and because that just happened to be what I was doing for the last year or so. And then, you know, but a lot of the conventions, we don't have, like, a lot of toy-focused stuff going on in the New England area. But there is some, you know, we're close to New York, and there's some things like that. But comics, though, there's, like, I mean, it's crazy, especially this year. There's, like, some new comic conventions, and then there's, you know, the standard old ones, and other ones are growing that are awesome. So, I mean, there's a ton, almost too much in my area. There's definitely an overwhelming amount in my area of comic book events. And it's just awesome that this is starting to become as big as it is, just as an event thing in our area. And I've been able to be part of some of the smaller ones and hope to be part of some of the larger ones as well. But it's just gotten me excited about comics again. And I mean, I always was excited about comics, but this is like, I don't know, especially hanging out with Michael Vlad a lot, because he's, even though he's interested in all these other things too, he has been pretty, I mean, he had distractions too with music and stuff, but he's been pretty much straight on the comics thing most of his life. And he has a lot more knowledge about it than I do, and so I'm always asking him questions. And, you know, his passion is contagious, and I think we kind of go back and forth with that. And it's cool to have buddies, people who I know. I mean, he lives literally like 10 minutes away from me, not even. I can get to his house in less than 10 minutes. So the fact that I actually have a community like online, and I'm starting to get to know people, you know, in my area, and there's podcasts too. There's a few podcasts kind of focus on comics from around here. Yeah, comics is becoming the center and the heart of what I do, I think. That and kind of music is kind of all like hip hop. Just the whole culture and idea of hip hop is always going to be kind of close to my heart, you know. And a lot of other things I'm into too, but like the animation and the video games, that's like just fun things that I love that I'd be into, but I don't have, it's not so much a passion, not as much as comics and music is for me. So the music and the comics is really the heart of what Donkey Jaw Projects is. And what I'm all about. And I think especially the comics is going to drive a lot of what I'm doing from here on out. That's going to be like the core. And then like the video games will be part, you know, something that is, you know, it'll be an offshoot of one of the comics I make or something. Or, you know, the music is going to be related to the comics here and there. I mean, that's always kind of been the plan. But, you know, the animation stuff, that's going to be something that points maybe back to the comics, or that is an offshoot of the comic stuff, you know. I think that that's going to be kind of the focus. It's comics plus, you know, a lot of things. But comics is at the core. So it's all about comics right now. Really excited to get these at least 3 projects off the ground and at least start to get some pages out and get some stuff written. And that's really what I'm all about right now. And, you know, I hope you guys are interested in being part of the journey, you know, and coming along for the ride. So, yeah, I'm going to end it there. I'm sorry it was like kind of a really rambly, like, tangent driven podcast, but there will be more to come. And you know, this with this podcast, I like to have a topic, but I don't always do that. And this is one of those where I didn't do that. And I do like to have the random journal podcast from time to time, and even my topic driven podcasts are somewhat journalistic. And even my interviews, I like to be topic-driven, but I kind of forgot about that when I did the Jim Lujan interview. So that was more just about him and what he's been doing. But still, it's really packed full of, you know, process, and it's gotten me excited about animation again and stuff like that. So, you know, I'll have to have Jim Lu on again and have a more topic-driven podcast, because he's got a lot of cool advice and thoughts about storytelling. He's a really good storyteller. Like, that's the biggest strength, but there's a lot of other things, like his cinematic approach to, you know, Mike Judge-style animation. It's really fun and awesome. You definitely got to check him out. So, yeah, enough rambling for today. Hope you guys were able to get something out of it. And, you know, thank you for listening, as usual. 100% happy with you guys being a part of it. Come to the show notes and, you know, write a comment. You can also either call in or send an MP3 or something my way through email or whatever if you have a question or something you'd like to add. You know, I'd love to have, you know, play it on the show. I have the technology to do such things. So, yeah, definitely contribute and be a part of the show. I want you guys all to be involved. And, yeah, I'll talk to you next week on the next episode of Escape Artist Podcast. See you later.
Background music provided by Mr. Pool. You can find show notes at donkeyjawprojects.com, where you can also sign up for the newsletter. If you'd like to support, go to patreon.com/plex or go to iTunes and leave a review. And thank you so much for listening. Now get your butt out there and make some awesome stuff. It's Escape Artist.